Today on Focal Point from Pastor Mike Fabares.
Never lose hope when you're hurting. Why? Because you can look back and recall when you had to wait on God and He delivered you. And you've shared that, and that has done something about your disposition in being optimistic and hopeful that even if your sin is the cause for your present trial, we're going to recognize this, that when we come in repentance, we can claim the gracious, loving kindness, Hesed, His covenant love for His people and His faithfulness.
If you've ever taken a road trip with young kids, you've almost certainly heard that dreaded question, "Are we there yet?" Kids are notoriously impatient. But if we're honest, we adults aren't much better. Today on Focal Point, Pastor Mike Fabares urges us to look at our own hearts, to see if we're being impatient with God. It's part of our study called Israel's Greatest Hits, Volume 2. We're in Psalm 40, learning how to have patience and peace while awaiting God's answers.
I want you to drop down to verse number 13 and look at the last five words. Just to know what this passage is all about, we got to start here. Right here, this is what's going on here. Take a look at this. Verse 13, last five words in the English Standard Version. It reads this way, "Make haste to help me." Well, you may not use that word very often, haste, but you know what it's saying. Hurry, God, hurry up and help me. Work backwards in that passage. Deliver me. I mean, I'm in pain, I'm in trouble. Verse 12, "For evils have encompassed me beyond number." David is in pain. This Psalm of David is David crying out to God and saying, "God, hurry up." Ever said that to God? "I'm in pain. I'm in distress. Fix it. I need your help." There are four things, if we carefully work through this passage, that will help you return, I hope, to have a restored kind of prayer that is filled with patience and peace. Not easy, but it's simple. Not easy, but it is simple, and it's right here in this text. Let's start with the first three verses. David is in the middle of crying out to God, "God, hurry up and help me." Let's see how he starts this psalm. Here it comes. It says, the superscription says, "To the choir master, a psalm of David." And here's what he says. Verse 1, "I waited patiently for the Lord." Past tense. I've done that in the past. Waited patiently for the Lord, capital O-R-D, which is always representing the Hebrew word, translating the Hebrew word, Yahweh, the proper name of God. "I waited patiently for Yahweh. And he," now talking about him in the third person, "he inclined to me and heard my cry." Now, I've waited in the past and he came through. What did he do? Verse 2, "He drew me up from the pit of destruction and out of the miry bog." Now, remember, the psalm is David crying out in another bog. He's in a bog and he feels like, "God, hurry and help me." But he says, "You know what? You've done that in the past. And I waited patiently and you came through. You set my feet," middle of verse 2, "upon a rock, making my steps secure." I got back up. I got on the path. "He put a new song in my mouth," which is interesting, another new reason for me to sing praises to God. God has done what I asked. It didn't happen when I wanted. I had to wait patiently for it, but he did it. A song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear. They'll say, "God is God." We respect him. We fear him and put their trust in Yahweh. Number one, if you're taking notes, jot this down. Number one, we need to recognize, we're going to follow David's pattern to have peace and patience when we're praying for the next trial and to find relief in our distress. He does what we need to do. Number one, we need to recall waiting on God. When have you waited on God? Number one, when did you wait on God and God came through? Because that's what David is recalling. He's going to have a joyful, as you'll see, hope-filled, optimistic kind of praying that's patience and filled with peace because he looks back and said, "I've seen you do it before and I've had to wait." I just this week went through his life and I started at the beginning. I thought, okay, let me just think through David's life and all the things he went through. How many things do I think David dropped on his knees and prayed for? And then how long did those things take to work out? Now, I imagine just like us, and he's probably more godly than us. I mean, I will grant him that. And probably prayed much more quickly than we do when he encounters the problems that he encounters. And when he encountered a problem at work, when his boss was mad at him, I'm sure he prayed about it. And it says in 1 Samuel that his boss, Saul, was throwing a spear at him, trying to pin him against the wall. That's the time you put on your prayer request, "I want peace at work. I want a new boss. I'd like things to be better here." How quick did God solve that problem? Not very fast. It took years. It got progressively worse before it ever got better. I just want to tell you, David knows what it is to wait. You got to recall waiting on God. You should chronicle those. You should make lists of those. You ought to have a journal of some kind on your computer or a journal you write on, and you say, God, here's how you have answered prayer. And you ought to remember that in the midst of your trial and your distress right now. More than that, verses 4 through 10, look at our passage, Psalm 40. Says, you know what? It is good, because not just me, other people, they've trusted in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord, Yahweh, his trust, who does not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after a lie. No, you've multiplied, oh Yahweh, my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts toward us. You've been good, not just to me, you've been good to a bunch of us, the people that have trusted in you. None can compare with you. I will proclaim and tell of them, yet they are more than can be told. I mean, there are so many things you've done, not just for me, but for the people around me. Verse 6, he talks about sacrifice is really not the ultimate thing God's looking for. Verse 7, he speaks of this very cryptic verse that ends up being a messianic fulfillment in the New Testament about Christ that the book of Hebrews references. And then again, he says this in verse 9, I've told of the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation. I've said it. I've shared it. I've talked about it. Behold, I have not restrained my lips, as you know, O Yahweh. I have not hidden your deliverance within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your steadfast love or your faithfulness from the great congregation. I told people what you did for me. Number two, you want to have hope and peace and patience in the midst of your current trial? You want to keep praying with optimism? Number two, always share God's good answers. I'll bet God has answered some prayers for you in the past year, has he not? I'll bet you could look back, and even when I said things about you having to wait for God to come through, I bet you say, I thought of things that happened in my life 10 years ago, 15 years ago. I just wonder, how many people have you told about that? How many people have you told about that lately? And it may be that you think, well, it hadn't been lately. Fine. What did he do for you 15 years ago? How did he come through and set your feet on a rock after being in a miry bog? How was it that you had to wait for God? And then he answered, have you shared that with anyone? Share it today. And he said, well, he's not answering now. That's all right. He's not answering right now for David either. Verse 13, he's saying, God, hurry and help me. He's not helping David right now on David's time, but he says, but he has helped me and I have shared it. Always share God's good answers. Verse 11, after he says, and I guess I should read these together because look at the contrast. Bottom of verse 10, I have not concealed your steadfast love and your faithfulness from the great congregation. I've shared it. As for you, Yahweh, O Yahweh, you will not restrain your mercy from me. No, it's not arrogant. It's saying, look what has happened in my confidence about my present distress when I look back at all those years of infertility, when I look back at all those years of singleness, when I look back at all those years of trouble, look back at all those years of problems at my work, my sickness. When God has restored, he has restored on his timetable, and now I'm going to pray with a great deal of optimism, and I'm going to say this, God's going to get me through this one too. As for you, oh Yahweh, you're not going to restrain your mercy. Your steadfast love that I've talked about in past circumstances and your faithfulness, they will preserve me. How bad is it for you, David? Verse 12. Evils have encompassed me beyond number. Wow, must be really bad. My iniquities have overtaken me. Iniquity, what is that? Sin. David's sin. And I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head. My heart fails me. You know one reason you're going to give up and lose hope in the midst of your current distress? Some of you will lose hope because you're so pious and godly, at least you think you are, and you say, God's not going to deliver me from this one because I caused it by my own sin. That's an amazing thing. One of the most hopeful passages in the Psalter about David being optimistic in his praying, he's basically saying, my problem right now is a problem I've caused. It's my iniquity, and it's my iniquity more than the hairs of my head. I understand it's poetic, it's hyperbolous, but he's saying, I did a lot of wrong things, and now I'm suffering for it. But God, would you please, be pleased, verse 13, oh Yahweh, to deliver me. Yahweh, make haste to help me. Matter of fact, all these people that are coming at me that really is a quid pro quo, a cause and effect, a this for that, I've sown to the flesh, I'm reaping from the flesh corruption, and human beings are coming after me as a consequence of my sin. I'm still praying, God, please deliver me, make haste to help me. Let those, verse 14, be put to shame and disappointed altogether who seek to snatch my life away. I know I deserve to die, but God, let your steadfast love and your faithfulness preserve me. Let those be turned back and brought to dishonor who delight in my hurt. Let those be appalled because of their shame who say to me, aha, aha, which is an ancient way to mock someone when they're down. Number three, you should never lose hope when you're hurting. Verses 11 through 15. Number three, never lose hope when you're hurting. Why? Because of the first two points. Because you can look back and recall when you had to wait on God and he delivered you. And you've shared that, and that has done something about your disposition in being optimistic and hopeful that even if your sin is the cause for your present trial, we're going to recognize this, that when we come in repentance, we can claim the gracious, loving kindness, hesed, his covenant love for his people and his faithfulness. And what is he faithful to do? Well, here's the thing. If you confess your sins, he's faithful and righteous to forgive your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. It's not presumptuous. It's just responding to a faithful God who promises his mercy to contrite sinners. Recall waiting on God. You've done it in the past and he's come through. Don't keep those to yourself and cherish them in your private little journal that's password protected. Share those things that God has done. And then now, in your present situation, no matter how bad it might be, never lose hope. And then something very practical, verses 16 and 17. May all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. What about people that are suffering because of their own sin? Even them, because that's what David's doing. May all who seek you, if those people turn to you, let them rejoice. Let them be glad. May those who love your salvation, we're not talking about eternal salvation here, though, although it's not far from the view. We're talking about deliverance, the miry bog. But you know what? I should suffer for my sins, not only in this life, but in the next. So I guess you can see it right there on the horizon. All those who love your salvation, your deliverance, may they continually say, that means now, that means tomorrow, that means last week. May they always say and continually say, quote, great is Yahweh, unquote. God is great. Why? Because he's faithful, his loving kindness. He's a gracious God. As for me, you want to know the situation for him? Well, we started with that in verse 13, last five words, right? He's saying, God, help me. As for me, I am poor and needy. I'm in trouble right now. But here's the optimism. The Lord takes thought for me. I know he hadn't abandoned me. I know he's still thinking. You are my help and my deliverer. And there it is again. I can't help but throw it in here. Do not delay, oh my God. Please help me. This passage is about someone in distress. David in pain. He's been in pain many times before. God has come through. He shared it in the great congregation. He's not going to lose hope, even if it's his own sin. And now he says this, I want everyone who seeks you to rejoice even before they get the answer. I'm going to rejoice. I'm poor and needy, and I know you take thought of me, and I know you're going to help. I'd put it down this way. Number four, rejoice now, right now, in what God will do. I want everyone to continually say God is great, not just about what he did in the past, but what he's going to do in your future. And let's start with the temporal future before you die. He's going to bring you through many trials and many toils and many snares. His grace is going to see you home. You need to rejoice right now in what he's going to do tomorrow, next week, next month. Even if he makes you wait 5 years for whatever it is you're praying for right now, rejoice now. I say, I used to hear this all the time. I remember hearing this from my parents. Thank God in advance. Tell him today, thank you for what he's going to do and the good things he'll accomplish tomorrow. That's a great, great thing. It impacted me, impressed me as a kid. That's how I need to look at God. God as a God I'm displaying my trust in. You know, right now, if you are not praying, I mean, this sermon is kind of about prayer. I get that. But if your prayer life is lagging, if I say, how's your prayer life? Well, I'm not praying very much. And if you are suffering and not praying very much, that reflects your lack of confidence in the goodness of God. It's indicative. It is a diagnostic of you not believing in the goodness of God. You just don't believe it. If you believed it, you'd be praying, and you'd be praying even like David. I know I'm having to wait. I want God to hurry up and help me. Don't delay, God. I need your help. And you may pray that for a week, a month, a year, and man, you just don't pray like you used to. Jesus said this, always pray and never give up. God may adjust your prayer request. It may be that you're selfishly praying for the wrong things. He'll adjust those. But if you're in some situation and you know, much like David's life, filled with these examples, where it was the wrong thing, it was a terrible thing, it was a mess. He needed to be put out of that miry bog onto a rock to stand up straight again. He prayed. He prayed, and he persevered, and he was patient. And I think from a passage like this, we've read all 17 verses, you can see it now. He was very optimistic in that. Rejoice now in what God will do. Either we believe it or we don't. I know we can dismiss it and roll our eyes and think we're too complicated and insightful and wise, and we know all the exceptions to Romans 8:28, but Romans 8:28 is still true, is it not? That God works all things together for good. To those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And right now, you being made to wait is part of God's good plan for your life. Don't stop praying. What do I do? Well, look back in the past. Look at what he's done. Get to your small group this week. Get out on the patio and just share something good God did, even if it was 10 years ago. Here's what God did for me. Never lose hope in this present trial and start even today thanking God for what he's going to do for you years from now. There was a missionary that went to a mission field. I remember reading about this probably 20 years ago. And as he went there, he was in a modern leper colony. And if you think about that, I mean, we read biblical stories about it. Surely you've looked it up on Google and seen pictures of just how grotesque and disfiguring this is. Well, this modern missionary was there, which reminds me of Jesus healing the lepers and reaching out and touching them. But as he was there trying to lead in a worship service, which I've done before in mission fields, you know, both domestic and abroad, and you're just trying to piece together something that'll work, you know, whether you have a guitar or you don't have a guitar, you're just trying to do your best, and it didn't seem like this was going very well, so this missionary finally said before it was time to start the preaching, well, listen, I'll just take a request. Is there some Christian song you'd like to sing here? And one of the lepers said, in that old church building, let's sing Count Your Blessings. Think about that. Count Your Blessings. Now, the second verse of that says, are you ever burdened with a load of care? If there's anybody burdened with a load of care, it's this ostracized, sequestered group of people with this disfiguring disease that are left only to look at each other in the same lot of terrible. Talk about a miry bog. There they are. You ever burdened with a load of care? Does your cross seem heavy, heavier than you're called to bear? Well, then count your blessings. And every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. That seems like a pie in the sky, overly simplistic, great little song to teach your third graders, but it doesn't work in real life. Well, it worked in real life on that mission field in a leper colony with adults struggling through their disfiguring disease. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Look back and then start to thank him for what he's going to do. Jesus built that into that story in Acts 17 when he had those 10 lepers go and show themselves to the priest. Now think about that. You're not even healed yet. No, go now, go now. Go with the gift of gratitude and restoration. Go with your gift to the priest. Show yourself to the priest. Well, we're not healed. No, go. Trust me. And they go. And they're all 10 healed. And one turns around and comes back. This is Acts 17. Remember the passage? Verse 17 says, one comes back and bows down and thanks Christ. And Christ, you might see in your mind's eye, patting him on the head, saying, oh, I'm so thankful you're thankful for me. But he doesn't. He looks at him and chides him by proxy for the others. Weren't there 10 that were healed? Where are the other 9? If pagan lepers are duty-bound to thank God for what he's done, how about us? And how about us taking it a step further and saying, I'm going to start to praise God today for what he's going to do tomorrow. I know it's hard to wait. Really hard to wait. Isaiah, outside of the Christmas passages, probably the most famous text in Isaiah, is a passage about waiting on the Lord. You've got to understand the context. Isaiah is preaching to people that are about to go into exile for 70 years. Think about how long that is. 70 years. And Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian army are going to take the best and brightest. Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, Daniel, they're all going to go off as prisoners and the temple's going to be burned and the whole city's going to be ransacked and the nation's going to be broken. And they're going to hang their harps on the willow trees in Babylon beyond the river and they're going to weep. And in the midst of all that, Isaiah says, don't lose hope. Keep praying. Keep being hopeful. And he summarizes in that little phrase, wait on the Lord. And he starts with this. Do you say that your way is hidden before the Lord? Why do you say that? Why do you say that your case is disregarded by God? No, this is a trial. It's 70 years. It's a long time. It's going to be hard on you. But have you not known? Have you not heard that Yahweh is the everlasting God? He's really not bound by time like you are. He's the creator of the ends of the earth. He's sovereign and powerful. He can step in at any time. He doesn't faint. He doesn't grow weary. This isn't too hard for him. His understanding is unsearchable. But here's what he does. He gives power to the faint. And to him who has no might, he increases strength. I'm sure David in Psalm 40 could have given up. But look at this strength. Look at the hope. Even youths faint and grow weary. And young men, they stumble and fall. But those who wait on the Lord, those who are willing to prayerfully, confidently, with biblical optimism, say, I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep looking back and keep looking forward. They're going to renew their strength. They're going to mount up with wings like eagles. They're going to run and not be weary. They're going to walk and not faint. I pray that's the response of your heart regarding whatever you might be facing, because God would want you to pray and wait with patience and peace. Let's pray. God, help us to reread Psalm 40 this week with a sense of anticipation that you are a God that cares about us in the midst of our trials. When our prayers seem to hit the ceiling and we think like the people were tempted to think before that Babylonian captivity, that God had disregarded their case, and in the middle of it, that God's never going to hear them, or near the end of it, that God must be really tired and not able to break through, that the reality is that God is not tired. He doesn't grow faint. He's not lacking power. He's not lacking awareness. But because of God and his infinite wisdom, which seems like a cop-out to the world, but throughout history, we see it. And embedded within every story, even in the New Testament, we see the value and the wisdom of the fact that you make your servants wait. Let us wait well. Let us renew our strength. Let us be optimistic, even in the midst of our pain and distress, that we might please you with how we pray and how we patiently seek the Lord. Make that the reality for us, and may it be reflected in our praying and our small group discussions, even in our fellowship now as we dismiss. In Jesus' name, amen.
Patience and peace. That's the title of our message today from Pastor Mike Fabares, and this is Focal Point. We're in a series on the book of Psalms called Israel's Greatest Hits, Volume 2, and you can catch up on previous messages or view the transcripts at focalpointradio.org. And to go along with this study in Psalms, we've created a brand new resource we'd like to send you. Mike, would you tell us a little about this booklet?
Yeah, we are really excited about this new resource. It's a Focal Point exclusive. You can't get it anywhere else. It's called Encouraged by the Psalms. I've written this devotional, is what it really is, on some key chapters from the Psalms, and it is a great resource for your time in the Word every day. Psalms, of course, are filled with all kinds of emotions and struggles, reminders of how great God is, and certainly reminds us to get our lives in perspective. And I think you're going to find a lot of encouragement from God's truth right here in this book. I say it's a book, it's a booklet, it's longer than a booklet, it's somewhere in between the two. It's a substantial resource. It's a small book that I don't want you to miss out on. So it's our gift to you today just for letting us know that you're listening. And Dave, why don't you tell them how they can get in touch?
Of course, here's the number to call, 888-320-5885, or go to focalpointradio.org/encouraged and look for the booklet called Encouraged by the Psalms. It's free today just for getting in touch. We love providing free Bible study resources like this booklet and the daily teaching on this program, but it's only possible thanks to support from listeners like you. So if you've been growing and learning through Focal Point, will you stand with us by giving today? When you do, in addition to the booklet, we'll also send you a beautiful ESV Illuminated Scripture Journal for the Book of Psalms to record your notes throughout this series. One more time, here's how to contact us. Call 888-320-5885 or go to focalpointradio.org. Well, I'm your host, Dave Drewy. So glad to have you with us. And be sure to come back Tuesday for a message about confession and sanctification right here on Focal Point.
Pastor Mike here. You know, it's an honor to be with you every day, helping you explore the depths of Scripture. But I want to be clear, no amount of Bible knowledge is ever going to save you. Be sure where you stand with God. Get in touch with us. We'd love to pray with you and for you. Visit us today at focalpointradio.org. We look forward to hearing from you.
Today's program was produced and sponsored by Focal Point Ministries.